to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. First, got to give a little credit to Pastor Sherry here. She got 45 minutes notice that she was doing the kids' talk because Myrna is not feeling well at all and didn't want to spread her joy with the rest of us. And we greatly appreciate that in terms of her staying home and feeling better, and also your words. Thank you. Today's lessons really talk about sight and insight. And they really speak of that fact of how we can see the world through different eyes. I've had glasses or contacts, I think, since first or second grade. I was blessed by both levels of ocular defect that my parents had. My father has astigmatism, I got that. My mother is highly nearsighted. I got that. And I can remember as I was going through this thinking, well, at least I won't have to worry about being farsighted. Nobody explained to me that that wasn't true. So I'm nearsighted, farsighted, and have astigmatism. My eyes stink. And they're very sensitive to light. Not that light bothers them, but the fact that if there's not enough light, I can't see anything at all. So I wake up in the middle of the night, and I roll over because I wonder why I'm up. And then I want to see what time it is. And I look, and I see a couple of feet away from me this reddish blur. And so I drag myself to the edge of the bed, and I lean over, trying not to fall off the bed to get my chin positioned on the nightstand so I can put the clock about this far away from my face so I can see what time it is. Used to drive my father a little insane because we'd be out in the woods and he would see a woodland creature. And he'd say, "Look, there's a deer." Where? Right there. And then I'd focus in and I could see a deer. And he goes, "Well, that's really a huge buck. Look at the horns." Horns? You know, and so there is a certain amount of empathy I have for people that are truly have difficult with their sight. And so when I hear about the blind man, you know, there's that sense I have that that's probably one of the more horrible things to have happen, is to really be without sight. But even without sight, we seem to find our way. If we're correctly focused. In today's first lesson, it wasn't necessarily about sight, but it was really about being able to see and understand. So Samuel's lined up to pick out a new king. Well, you know, a king.
Big, brawny, strong, good looking. That's the king you want to have. King!
And so as the sons of Jesse go by, he's like, "Oh, that's one." God says, "No." "Okay. Well, what about this one? He looks good." "No." "Well, how about this one?" "No." And so they go through the whole line of sons. The ones that Samuel's like, "Well, this is obviously a king." And God says, "Obviously not." And the only thing left is a little boy out herding the sheep. That's the king. Because what Samuel wasn't doing in terms of this whole process of the choosing of royalty wasn't looking through the eyes of God. There's all kinds of blindness in the gospel lesson, We have the blind man who's obviously blind, but then we have his blind parents and the blind Pharisees too. Along with the blind people who are saying, well, how can he see? Is that the same guy? That's not the same guy. Can't be the same guy. He couldn't see before. Looks like him, but not the same guy. Well, yeah, that's the same guy. So these people don't even know what's going on. His parents say, I have no idea. He was born blind, and well, we do know that's our son. And the Pharisees say, this must be a joke. So none of them could see. None of them could see and understand exactly what it was that had just taken place. A man born blind. Which is still a miracle. 2,000 years ago and today. My great aunt Ida used to take care of a woman named Mabel who was blind. And one of the things I hated doing the most in childhood was going into Mabel's house to visit because it was hot and it smelled funny. It had that ancient smell to it. And we just sit in the living room and there was a TV there and I wanted that TV to be on so badly, but it was never on. And I just sat there and they would talk. Old people talk. They talk about people I didn't know, talk about things I didn't care about. And it was always a Sunday afternoon and I was tired because they took me to church. They'd get me up early in the morning and take me to church and then we'd drive to East Brady and I'd sit on the floor of that hot, smelly house listening to them talk about things I didn't want to talk about, wondering when it would never end. And one day, Mabel, who always wore these big, dark Stevie Wonder glasses, rubbed her eyes. And it was just all white. No iris. No pupil. Just white. I was really proud of myself because I didn't scream as a 6-year-old. But the reality, as I began to think about that, was there was no way she could have ever seen anything and no way she would ever see in her lifetime. And yet this man who was born blind was given the gift of sight and the gift of insight. Because he understood somewhat, at least better than the Pharisees and his parents and the crowd, exactly what it was that he received. A gift from God. Pastor Sherry was talking with the kids about trying to figure out who was the kindest, who was the most loving, who was the most generous. Well, we can't do those sorts of things. Because you can't look at somebody from the outside and figure out what's going on in the inside. And yet we make judgments based all the time on people and their outward appearances. And part of what we're told time and time again is the fact that that's not what we're supposed to be about. Ours isn't sort of a visual cue where we look at people and we analyze them and understand how we're supposed to treat them and what kind of person they are, but rather we're supposed to be able to view these things through the eyes of God with a sense of understanding and a sense of empathy and a sense of concern and a sense of love and a sense of compassion. I saw this week written on the back of somebody's car in that kind of chalk stuff they used. It said, where's the empathy? And I thought that was probably the most profound question that I've seen in a long time. Because our relationship with God and how God calls us to relate to the world is one that demands empathy. It demands understanding. It demands love. It demands us not to look at individuals and make judgments on them based on what we see, but rather through how God sees. Understanding that each person we encounter throughout our lives is a son and daughter of God. Brother and sister here in this place. One for which we are called to care for. One in which we are called to love. One in which we are called to use every ounce of empathy and compassion that we might have to be able to care for them and look after their needs and not to stand there in judgment, pointing our finger and saying things that might tear another down. The Pharisees, great finger waggers, especially in this story.
He must have sinned. He's blind. He's a sinner. He can't be healed. He can't receive the grace of God.
And yet the reality is that within our sinfulness, there is no place else that the grace of God should dwell than with us. Because there is no place else that we are in more desperate need. Be able to use what God has blessed us with. Look at the world and not pick out the kings. Or not point and wag our finger at the blind or the disabled or the homeless or the refugee or the hungry or the sick. But rather to embrace them. Rather to do exactly what Christ has called us to do, to be able to share and utilize all that we have for the least of these, our brothers and sisters, to be able to reach out to people in need, to be able to go and share that love of Christ through our acts, through our words, through our means, through our love and compassion that has been blessed to us by God. When we talk about dealing with the world, we really need to deal with the world through God's eyes. To understand that we're not to be about the picking and choosing of who deserves our help, who deserves our compassion, who deserves our love. Because it's through God's eyes that we begin to understand that we can't pick and choose because they all deserve all that we can give. Amen.